this way? If God, who was the perfect parent, ended up with a broken family, why do we think we're going to do it any differently? Why do we think we're supposed to make it perfect?
Elisa Morgan reminding us that imperfection and brokenness are inevitable in this life. Of course, we don't like that, and we try to hide our mistakes from others. But what if God wants to use your brokenness for His glory? You'll hear more from Elisa about that on today's Focus on the Family. And your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller.
I think many Christian families particularly struggle with this perfectionism. And for most of us, it's an honest mistake. We want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ by how we live. And, of course, show the world how faith can transform our families, our work, and everything about us. But sometimes we work a little too hard on our image and portray ourselves maybe as better than everyone else. And that was the mistake the Pharisees made in the first century. And sometimes that spirit, the spirit of Pharisaism, lingers in the church today. But Elisa Morgan wants to challenge our perspective on this. Several years ago, she wrote a landmark book called The Beauty of Broken, where she shared honestly about the brokenness in her own life. What I've always appreciated about Elisa, who's become a good friend, is how authentic and vulnerable she is. And in that vulnerability, we can see the Lord at work in her and through her.
Mm-hmm. And she's probably best known for her 20 years of leadership for MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, which is a great ministry that offers a lot of support and encouragement to young families. Elisa continues to speak and write on family topics, and we invited her to speak at the monthly Focus on the Family staff chapel.
So, it was a Sunday afternoon, and I had come home from some meeting or engagement I'd had, and I was tired. And this was a season when I was responsible to take care of my then little 2.5-year-old grandson, while his mama, my daughter, who was a single mom, went to work, where she cut and styled people's hair. Thank you very much. And she needed me to take care of him because she was a single mom, and during the season, they lived with us. So I put this little guy down for his nap, and all of a sudden, I thought, oh my goodness, that word sounds so amazing, nap. And I gave into it. And it sounded really old, but it also sounded amazing. And as I started nodding off to sleep, I heard this crash. This eruption that went through our home. I shook myself awake and I started walking through our hall into the entryway into the living room, and as my feet hit the floor of our dining room, I knew what had caused that crash. Because you see, this hutch that had hung on our wall and had housed the contents of my grandmother's antique china collection had lost its grip, taking everything with it. Everything was in smithereens on the floor. I knelt down next to these beautiful relics. They were the one things that I had wanted to inherit from my grandmother when she passed, and I picked them up a sliver at a time. There was like a saucer intact and maybe something with a big chip out of it. And I remembered that my grandmother had collected these as she had been in tour buses with other grandmothers, blue-haired women, all over Europe, and she brought them back to me. They were gorgeous. They were precious to me. This was a season when I honestly felt like everything was falling off of the walls in my life. I'm sure you've had some moments like that. And I honestly had no option but to just get a broom and a dustpan and sweep up the mess and walk over and trickle it all into the trash. There was no way I could fix it. I felt like in that moment I was beyond help, and I told God that. And it was like he leaned down next to me and he said, I know you're beyond your help, but you're not beyond mine. The thing is, I come from a broken family. When I was around 5 years old, my dad called me into his home office then, and he had this fluffy white chair that was upholstered with an ottoman, and he beckoned me up onto his lap, and I clambered up there because I loved daddy time, And he turned me toward him and met me eyeball to eyeball and put his hands on my shoulder and said, "Elisa, I've decided I don't love your mother anymore, and we're going to get a divorce." And I felt like my family fell and broke. And as most children who have divorced parents struggle, I wondered what I had done to cause it. My new normal family of my mom and my older sister and my younger brother and I, we moved across the United States where she raised us, my mom, in this ranch-style home in Houston, Texas. I remember around age 11, I can remember that my days would start off with the sound of my mom's alarm clock going off down the hall in this home. And I would pull back the covers and I would go into the kitchen where I'd grab a glass and plunk some ice cubes in it and pour Coca-Cola over the top. I'd grab a couple of chocolate chip cookies and I would take these down the hall to my mom's nightstand where I'd turn off the alarm and I'd put this breakfast on the nightstand and I'd begin this process of trying to wake my mom up because she was a single mom and we needed her to go to work. And my mom couldn't wake herself up in the mornings because she drank too much scotch at night. She struggled with alcohol. So it was my job to wake her up. And as this realization hit me when I was a young middle schooler, I began to think, oh my goodness, my mom has fallen and broken. And I wondered what I had done to cause it. I remember sensing that God loved me, but I still didn't really know him. When I was around 16 years old, I discovered that God really did love me so much that he actually gave his son Jesus to die on a cross so that I could be in a relationship with him. That was through a ministry called Young Life. And I gave my life over to God. And I thought, honestly, you know what? I may have come from a broken family, but I'm going to create a perfectly intact second family because now I have Jesus, right? I remember I had this dream shortly after this time, and I was falling in slow motion off this cliff, and I looked down at these rocks that were flesh-colored, kind of like red rocks in Colorado. I thought, my goodness, I'm going to die. But just at the last second, as my body hit the rocks, they were spongy and soft, and I realized I hadn't fallen into rocks at all. I had fallen into the hands of God, and I heard this voice in my dream that said, "Elisa, I am your heavenly Father. And I'll never leave you or forsake you." I clarified God's call on my life, and I moved from Texas up to Denver, Colorado, where I enrolled in seminary. And there I met my husband's stable rock of a man, Evan. We were both training for full-time ministry. We fell in love quickly. We got married. We made a commitment that we would never even use the word divorce because we knew we couldn't have children biologically. We began the very long process of adopting children, which took 4.5 years. And can I just say it's like being dilated to a 9 for 4.5 years? Oh, we finally received first our little baby girl at 13 days. And then a few years later, our son at 3 weeks. They were wonderful days where we would have Jesus time every night and we would go spend our lives at church and in Bible study with other young couples raising kids. We were doing it right. And when my kids were, maybe in their preschool to kindergarten age, I received this phone call. Would I be interested in applying to become the first president of an international mothering organization called MOPS International? It was a 15-year-old grassroots movement of moms led by volunteers. Would I be interested in formalizing the organization? I go, "Do you know who I am? I'm the one from the broken family. I'm the one with the alcoholic mother. I've never even been pregnant. How would you want me?" Some years into it, maybe like 15, I had this dream. I was in a home that was under construction, just the framing. Jesus was my tour guide. He had a little hard hat on and a denim shirt. He was guiding me through, and he stopped, and he said, "This room right here is for your daughter, and this adjacent room is for her baby." I'm like, "What? She's only 16. Woke up, shook that puppy off, right? But a few nights later, the dream repeated itself. pretty much identical. Jesus, the tour guide, home under construction. This room is for your daughter. This room is for her baby. I ignored it. And maybe a week later or so, I was in a conference room at MOPS International, Mothers of Preschoolers, and we were talking about the creation of what would be called teen MOPS for moms who were themselves still children having babies. And I felt God bend down next to me and say, Alisa, you're going to know more about this than anyone in this room. And I decided, oh my, I better go home and ask my daughter, my beautiful 5'7" daughter who was a state-ranked swimmer, who had just returned from a missions trip to serve HIV/AIDS orphans in Kenya. Is there any reason you could be pregnant? And she nods. And me, never before pregnant me, I get to get in my car and drive to the grocery store and buy an at-home pregnancy test and bring it home and wait outside the bathroom door while my daughter pees on a stick to find out, yes, she's pregnant. And it's not just she, my daughter, who lost herself in this season. My son, my wry-witted, dimple-cheeked, gorgeous son, a few years younger, began to steer his life into the pitfalls of addiction and legal issues and truancy. And all the while, I'm the president of MOPS International, a mothering organization. Me. Seems to me like my second family fell and broke. There's a lot more to my story. There's so much more. But here's the thing. I come from a broken family, and despite my very best attempts to create a perfectly intact second family, I still come from a broken family. Think of it this way. If God, who was the perfect parent, ended up with a broken family, why do we think we're going to do it any differently? Why do we think we're supposed to make it perfect? I think it's time to talk, honestly. From the vantage point of survival, I thought it was my fault that my first family fell and broke, and so I decided that it was my responsibility to create a perfectly intact second family. But the problem is, I'm broken. I'm a messed up human being, and I can't do what is impossible. I've come to discover that God offers broken family values. Things like love and courage and commitment and respect. Things like forgiveness and thankfulness and partnership. And these are the things that now hang on the walls as heirlooms in my home. I believe that God gets it, that abnormal is pretty much normal. And that the waywardness of our loved ones is never a surprise to him. And no one is ever, ever beyond his reach. I think God brings beauty in the broken. And I think people like you and me, we really need to know it. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." That word wounds means black and blue marks. It means broken blood vessels. Jesus' broken blood vessels are his wounds. And healed, it means to be made whole again, to be restored, to be complete. So by Jesus' broken blood vessels, we are made whole. We are redeemed. When we sit amongst the shards of our shattered hopes, God does something different. I realize, looking back at that mess on my dining room floor, that I began a kind of a toppling of my own, and I didn't have a choice but to throw me away. But God bends down and he picks up a piece and then another piece and another piece, and he holds it up to the light of his grace, and he goes, "I know exactly what to do with this." And that's what I want to give us hope for today, because I believe we broken ones need hope. So the hope I want to offer us today is two sentences. And the first one I want to hand out is this: God loves the broken. He loves the broken. He loves the broken so much exactly the way we are, and yet he loves us too much to leave us this way. I am broken. And the pieces of me don't go back together the same way. I always still find my giggle when I chase my grandsons around the island in our kitchen. And I can still enliven a discussion on strategy and vision. And I love to open up the Bible with neighbors and talk about how this guy Jesus could be real. But when people have real questions about life, I am much more likely to kind of go quiet and grab a box of tissues and put my arm around somebody than hand out five scriptures. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. All I know is that God loves the broken, and he's reshaping and he's reforming us into who we always imagined we would be. A friend of mine, okay, my therapist, said, Elisa, I really want you to try out an experiment with God's love. I want you to sit every single day and think about God's love for 5 minutes. I thought, how hard can that be, right? So I'd sit down for 5 minutes, I would think about God's love, and maybe 29 seconds into it, I'm asleep. I mean, you know, woman, quiet, sitting, that's what you do. But I kept at it day after day. And like the third or fourth day, it was like, God loves me. And I need kitty litter. And I've got, anyway, I kept at it. And finally, this maybe 7 days into it, I heard this amazing sentence from God. I heard this sentence and it said, I love you, Elisa. I had never heard that before. I had heard God loves you, right? I had heard Jesus loves you. Sure, but I'd never heard first person God to me, I love you, Elisa. Here's the thing, he's not done with this process with us. If he was done, we would be dead. We're not done. He continues his work in us. God loves the broken. And the second sentence, God uses the broken. It's really hard to understand that, isn't it? We think that those things that have broken us actually disqualify us from meaningful service. We could have a list of them all. We think those are the things that make us excluded. And yet, in Scripture, God's very clear that these are the things that God uses. God uses the broken. We see example after example. God used two broken stone tablets in Exodus to bring the Israelites back from their disobedience. He used a broken heart in Psalm 51 to return King David to himself. God uses the broken until he uses the broken body of his Son to die on a cross for you and me, that by his wounds we might be healed. God uses the broken. Think of it this way. Maybe you've incurred cancer, and you've been through the surgery, and you had to have the radiation, and your skin burned, and then you had to have the chemo, and you lost your hair, and it was so diminishing. You lost your energy, you lost your stature, you thought, I'm never going to come back from this. But time passes, and the healing progresses, and you find your feet again. And when your coworker is diagnosed, you rally and you come up to them and you say, you know what, I know it's cold in chemo room and I know it's embarrassing to ask for help and I know you want to reject it, but I'm going to just make a pact right now. I'm taking you to chemo and every Wednesday I'm going to be there for you and we're going to go because you know what it's like. Maybe you felt a life forming inside you. And it was so early, but you could hardly contain it besides you and your spouse. And so you tell a girlfriend about it. And a few weeks go by, and suddenly that life that was life is not life anymore. And you don't know how to name it. And nobody notices, and nobody celebrates that due date that was on your calendar, circled big on your phone. But when your dear friend, your mops group, your mothering's group at church, your neighbor finds out she's pregnant and she whispers it to you and you're thrilled for her, but boom, suddenly that life is gone from her. You know, you circle up that date and you send her a card and you show up in that spot where there's no definition of grief and loss and you celebrate the life that was, that you wish could return and have had a fuller experience. God uses the broken. In fact, I want to suggest When we put our brokenness into His hands, into the hands of Jesus who redeems us, I want to suggest that instead of disqualifying us, our brokenness can further qualify us. Instead of excluding it, it can make us more included. God doesn't sweep up the mess. No, this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Why would we want to cover that up? Why would we want a garb of shame to hide that from our world that needs the hope that we've discovered in our brokenness? I was in an antique shop, and I ran across this stack of plates. They caught my attention because they looked so much like the ones from my grandmother's collection. And I picked the first one up, and I was like, what? Because there was a crack running through it, stem to stern, this crack right across this plate. And I was really scared to hold it because I was afraid it would fall apart. But I turned it over, and on the back, along that crack, I could see these brass rivets had been stapled into the plate. And I, with nervous hands, took this plate up to the shop owner, and I said, what is this? She said, oh, this is a technique for repairing porcelain china in the Victorian ages. I said, why would anybody bother? Why wouldn't you just throw it away? She said, well, think about it. If you had the choice between throwing out your porcelain plate and eating off of a board or repairing it, what would you do? I thought, oh my gosh, that's what God does with us. He doesn't throw us away. He repairs us. He staples us. He stapled His Son to a cross that He might bring beauty in our brokenness. This year, my husband and I have been married 38 years. That dear, stable soul has stayed. We still serve in full-time Christian work. We still make a lot of mistakes. If you were to take us out of the oven, so to speak, and put a toothpick into the lives that we are, it would come out kind of ill, you know, a little gooey in the middle. You'd say, let's put that back in a little bit longer. They're not done. No, we're not done. My kids love Jesus. Sometimes they go to church. They pray in text messages. They evidence their beliefs in inked symbols on their bodies, all over their bodies. My daughter cuts and styles people's hair and listens to their woes and their joys. She advocates for her sons at every turn. Her husband is so gentle that he doesn't want to kill an intruding praying mantis, but he ushers it out of the home with a broom. I've got this daughter and this grandson and then her husband and then another baby. In that order, we're messy. My son bows his head over his big book and looks up at my husband and myself, and he thanks us for another chance. And 3 years ago, he stood at an altar and exchanged vows with a beautiful young woman. We're still messed up, though. You see, I come from a broken family. And despite my best efforts, I still come from a broken family. And I honestly think we look more like Jesus now than we ever have. And I thank God, because there's beauty in the broken.
And that's how we concluded our Focus on the Family staff chapel meeting, featuring Elisa Morgan talking about her book, The Beauty of Broken. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire Focus on the Family team, thanks for listening. I'm John Fuller.
God loves the broken. God uses the broken. Those two statements are so simple and yet truly profound. As Elisa Morgan said, God repairs us, and He makes something beautiful from our brokenness. In her book, The Beauty of Broken, Elisa offers hope in the form of broken family values that allow parents to grow and thrive with God. She says, owning our brokenness shapes us into God's best idea for us and enables us to discover the beauty in ourselves and each member of our family. You can find it online at safamily.co.za or give us a call on 031-716-3300 to order your copy. I'm so glad that you could join us today for Focus on the Family Africa. I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you back next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.